Welcome to the Monday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on the promise of salt. The Encouraging Word. Yes, you may remember the idea that we're called to be salt, we're called to be light. And in the few minutes we'll spend together studying God's Word, you'll discover how today we can adjust our flavor to be even more flavorful, more beneficial to the world around us for the cause of Christ. As we open God's Word together, know that we're here for you. As a matter of fact, we're connecting online right now at tewonline.org. If you haven't visited our website lately, come and join and see the new changes we're making, including an easier way to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. It is a tremendous blessing. Again, easy to sign up for, absolutely free, online right now at tewonline.org. We'll meet you online. Now, today's message, The Promise of Salt with Dr. Don Wilton.
I want you all to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. That's where we're going to start. We're going to be in Matthew and chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. You're going to need your Bibles. I'm going to share something with you that the Lord has put in my heart that runs deep, because this is a promise. This is a shatter-proof truth that God gives to us, something that we've talked about many, many times. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect some dots today on a subject that we know so very well. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said this. I didn't say this. You didn't say this. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. He said, Before I read this, he was talking to people who know Jesus Christ, Christian people, believers. Someone may look at me today and say to me, well, what exactly is a believer? What is a Christian? A Christian is a man or a woman, boy or a girl, who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has repented of their sin, acknowledged their sin, confessed that sin to Jesus. Why to Jesus? Because Jesus is the one who paid the price for us. He went to the cross. He took my sin upon himself. That's God's plan. Because of my sin, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And a Christian person is a person who has confessed their sin to Jesus Christ and by faith trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. So I'm a Christian man. And when Jesus said what he said here in Matthew 5 and verse 13, he was talking to me. So now what did he say to me? If you are a believer today, well, let's just put this to the test. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian man, a Christian lady today, just raise your hand. All right, put it down again. Now watch this. So now this is for you. Very personal. Jesus said, excuse me, you, believer, Christian, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Jesus was talking to me, and I've got a real problem with what Jesus said. I do. Because he told me I'm the salt of the earth. My problem and your problem is we know how jolly difficult it is to carry out being what Jesus said we are. I'm going to just connect some dots here. So I'm going to start out by making a statement to you. Parents do make a difference in their children's lives. So, with everybody listening up here right now, if you are a mother or a father today, you had better watch yourself. The way you act, the way you talk, where you go, and some of you are destroying your children. You are a parent, you love your children, but you're doing everything that you ought not to be doing, and it is going to impact your children. Some of you are going to leave your sons and daughters with a bag of dirt to carry around for the rest of their lives because of your behavior. Some of you are sponsoring them. You're pushing them in the wrong direction. You think you're such a wonderful dad because all you do is rah-rah with your sons and daughters about things that don't really matter. Your priorities are all mixed up. And some of you, your behavior, the way you speak to their mother, you're going to pay for it. You don't talk to their mother like that and expect your son to grow up and respect women in the way they should respect. They are learning that from you. You are teaching them by virtue. Now, you're still the parent. You can't lose your parenting. You're never going to stop being dad. You're never going to stop being mom, but you've lost your saltiness, man. I want you to hear what Jesus was saying to me. He wasn't looking at me and saying, you're going to lose your salvation over this. But he was saying, listen, just because you're a Christian, don't go around strutting yourself. Let me tell you, there are many Christians in today's world that are bringing more discredit on Christianity than non-Christians, right? Just because you're a dad, this is my son, doesn't mean that your behavior is what it ought to be. Now, these are hard truths. Being a Christian parent is not just an inalienable right. Well, I'm his dad. Well, what kind of dad are you? This is what Jesus was saying to us here. That's why I'm so proud and so grateful to be in a community like this, because I'm just one. You teach me. You've allowed me to be part of a community in which iron is sharpening iron, where we as moms and dads and grandparents in our faith community, that's what church is. We help each other because we're in a life where it's jolly difficult to be everything God wants us to be. You know, it's jolly difficult to be the model dad, by whatever we would define that. It's very difficult to be the mother that you know God has called you to be, that you know you need to be, because we've got all these things, you know, going on in us. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You are. He designates us in terms of who we are because of Christ in us. And have you ever used that word when you go up to someone and you say, man, you're just the salt of the earth? Do you know what you're saying to him? You're just a jolly, very thoroughly decent human being. That's what you've told them. You're the salt of the earth. I look around here, man, there are just a thousand of you. I could walk up to you right now and say, you know, I just want to thank you. You know, I've known you for many years. You're just the salt of the earth. What am I actually saying? I'm saying, you know what? You're just a thoroughly, totally, you're just a decent person. You're just a lovely person. What a great compliment. Jesus looks into the heart of us believers and he gives to us the most wonderful statement. I mean, it's just rich. And then he lowers the boom. And this actually is a warning. You are the salt of the earth. And I'm going to give you the promise of salt, what this means. But I'm also going to tell you what happens when you don't measure up to what God's intended purpose is for you. Now, you know, we can talk about salt, you know, in all different kinds of ways. Did you know, by the way, that little phrase, salt goes back. You can go and study the ancient Greeks, Roman times. Get out the history books. Going back as far as when they first began to read and write. I'll bet you you'll find it in hieroglyphics if anybody here can read that stuff. Salt was always very important. The ancient Greeks, the word was theon, T-H-E, like the on, theon. And salt in the ancient Greek world represented divine. The ancient Greeks used the word salt and applied it to divine. In other words, they said this commodity, this thing called salt, was more valuable than any human expression. That's going back into the ancient Greeks. Romans, during the Roman era, used to be paid in salt. Don't try that on me, because that won't work with me. Did you know Roman soldiers were paid in salt? That's how valuable it was. And that's when that phrase first came on. He's not worth his salt. You're not worth your salt. Boy, that goes back a long time, doesn't it? It was a mark of friendship. Back in the early days, they used to throw salt at each other when they agreed. We need to come into church here one day with bags of salt and say, hey. Just whip some salt around, you know. But that's what they did. Some people have even suggested preceded the handshake. You know, today we shake hands, which is the open hand. I've got nothing in my hand. That's where the salute came from, the British salute like this. We Americans salute like that. But the salute originated, listen, I've got an open hand. I've got nothing in my hand. There's no weapon. I salute you. Give you an open hand. That's what I'm doing. I'm respecting you with nothing that threatens you. I simply submit to you. It's a beautiful expression. You know, back in 2 Chronicles, you might remember with David's kingdom, that God, Jehovah, 2 Chronicles 13 verse 5, if you want to go and see it sometime, 2 Chronicles 13, 5, God made his covenant with David and his sons concerning the kingdom and future kingdoms, and he made the covenant with salt. It's an amazing story. Bottom line is, folks, think about our world today. The world needs salt because the world is corrupt. I'm not preaching on it. The world needs light because the world is dark. Our world needs salt. Your sons and daughters need you, Dad. It's one reason why we are so passionate about this church. It's just one church, which is one drop in one bucket in a huge ocean. I'm passionate about First Baptist Church. I'm passionate about tomorrow. I want us to stop at anything. I'm passionate. I'm passionate about our grandkids, folks. I'm passionate that they have a church like this 35, 40 years from now. I'm passionate about being a father, grandfather. I'm passionate about being salt. And the problem is it's a real battle. Which dad among us can claim perfectness? Which one amongst us? Who's going to get up here and throw the first stone? Biggest joke I ever hear is when people say, oh, the church has just got a whole lot of hypocrites. Of course. What are you talking about, man? Has your head been in the sand somewhere? Life is the biggest challenge ever. There's a war going on in our spirit, in our soul. That old devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Just one more. I just got to read this to you, okay? I need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You might want to go to this and take a hard look at this. So I told you, here's a parallel text, okay? So here's Paul writing to Christian people in the church at Corinth, and they probably, just like you and me, they're in a world that's just filled with challenges and confusion and issues and trying to make a living and ends to meet, and they also dealing with their own personality dispositions. You know, You've heard it said many times, the biggest challenge facing a church like this, do you know what the biggest challenge in this church is? Have you ever wondered what's the biggest challenge in this church? Is that it's filled with people. Yeah. Listen to what Jesus says about us people, those of us who know and love him. So I'm in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in a triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Isn't that a beautiful, wonderful, encouraging word for people like you and me? So here's the question that I have found myself asking that I just pass on to all of us today. Why did Jesus say this to us? Why did Jesus tell us to be salt? Because we are salt. You are the salt of the earth. Why?
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton here on the Encouraging Word broadcast, and we'll be back with the rest of today's message on the promise of salt, diving first into that question, why are we the salt of the earth? But as we break away, Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you that there may be other questions that God stirred to your heart and mind as we're studying the Word together, and we'd love to help you find the answer to those questions in God's Encouraging Word. If you'd like to speak with one of us, have us pray with you, we're connecting right now, as well as 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, maybe connect you with resources that'll help you grow. Just know that we're here with you. Now back to today's message, The Promise of Salt, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, among many other reasons, the Lord just directed my thoughts to three very deep reasons. Number one, because salt speaks to every human need. Going to bring back the analogy of being a parent. God gave you this wonderful gift of being a parent, because God knows that parents can speak to every human need in a child's life. It's really just a beautiful picture. God is looking, Jesus was looking at us and he was saying, you know something? You're a complex person, and I died for you, and you gave your heart to me, and you the salt of the earth. Because I'm going to use you to speak to every human need. I'm going to let you be the fragrance, the aroma of Christ. What's every human need? The need for real love. You know how many people need to know what real love is, for real grace? Do you know how many people I know that, like all of us, have sinned against God, and I just want them to know that God's grace and his forgiveness is real. The need for real humility, the need for real forgiveness. Where does that come from? It comes from the Lord Jesus. The need for real hope. For real hope. You know, in our world where people search, they want something more. And this is a need for real hope. Why did Jesus say you're the salt of the earth? Salt speaks to every human need. And salt also provides a plan. It provides a plan because of its makeup. Now, if I was a chemist, scientist, I could try and break down the ingredients of salt. We could be talking about iodine, for example. I know salt has got a quantity of potassium, most certainly sodium. Contains a lot of sodium. We do know this, if you break down salt into its ingredient, it has an anti-caking compound in it. It breaks down things that are crusty and hard. In a sense, in a non-professional way, it softens. But it's part of God's plan because of its makeup, because of its purpose. Salt has a purpose. And when Jesus looked at us and he said, "You're the salt of the earth," you know, in essence, he was saying to us, you know, you not only belong to me, but you belong to me according to my purpose. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You are. Just be careful how you speak. This business of you flying off the handle whenever you feel like it, just cut it out, man. This language that you're using, words you're using in your home, oh, those things you're watching, the places you're going, you better check yourself, son. I don't care what president of what organization you might be. God gave you those children. Jesus, I wish that I could sit, oh, this is just wonderful. I'm salt. Jesus didn't just stop there because he loves us. He gave us the biggest challenge. Salt speaks to every human being. It provides a plan according to God's purpose. But just one more thing. I got to put this down here. Salt produces a wonderful result. Want me to show you what salt produces? So if it produces a wonderful result, why? Number one, because it covers. It covers. You know, it spreads itself. Number two, because it engages. Salt engages. And you know, in that passage in 2 Corinthians, when Paul said that, he said, listen, you got to understand something. As the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of God, you're going to touch everybody. Number one, those who know Christ, but you're also going to touch those who don't. You want me to tell you, if you've got in your home, you've got some behavior that's not good, just be salt. Don't just be salt, be salt. In its big definition, because salt engages. It exposes. Salt saturates. It works its way in. Salt heals. It's got a healing component. It heals. Salt flavors. Just gives flavor. Salt preserves. Preserves. That's a beautiful word. I think when Jesus looked at us and he looked at believers and he said, you know, you are the preservation of all that is good in the world, made good by me. And then just one more, I just dropped this in there. Salt attracts. You know, when you go and you eat something and it's just salted, it not only makes you want to eat some more, but it says, have some more. I don't know, there's something delicious about it. Don't you love to be around people? You ever been around people? And of course we have. This place is filled with them. Do you know what I love most of all about our church, about you? Is it just love to be around you? Because you're the salt of the earth. Jesus looked at us. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if you've lost your saltiness, how do you think your children and your grandchildren and your community and your world, how's the world going to get along if you lose your saltiness? Dad, if you stop being dad, what's going to happen to your kids, man? You are the salt of the earth. You know, because Jesus said that to me, I'm going to just ask him to help me every day just to be better salt. Every day I need him to help me do that. Would you bow your heads with me for a minute?
As Dr. Don is about to pray with our friends in the congregation, I pray that you would open your heart to a time of prayer as well. If you want to talk to one of us, you can pray with us right now at 866-899-9673. But first, I pray that you'd open your heart to what Dr. Don wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
I pray that the Lord has stirred your heart as you prayed with Dr. Wilton. Know that we'd love to take you to the next step of growing in Christ. Give us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online. There are a number of resources at tewonline.org that will bless you, encourage you, especially in these times. One of them is called Faith in the Midst of Crisis. Here's Liz with the details on how you can get your copy.
Right now, you may be driving in your car or sitting in the comforts of your home. Perhaps you may be at work or listening to us in a prison cell. Wherever you are, I have an encouraging word for you today. And that word is, God is in control. He is sovereign over the universe. His plan for your life remains intact, and he has not changed. He is right there with you. This month, with your support to the encouraging word, Dr. Wilton will send you two powerful resources, Faith in the Midst of Crisis, a new message available on CD or DVD, along with a copy of his book, Defying the Odds. You will be deeply encouraged, strengthened, and filled with hope to defy anything set before you. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request Faith in the Midst of Crisis on CD or DVD, along with the bonus book today. An operator is standing by to take your call. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
That number again to get your copy of Defying the Odds and Faith in the Midst of Crisis is 866-899-WORD. But more importantly, 866-899-9673. We'll connect with one of us, happy to talk or listen or pray with you anytime, day or night. We'd love to be your encourager. As Dr. Don would say, because we're available 24 hours a day, let us be your 2 a.m. friend to encourage you. Again, online as well at tewonline.org.
Be encouraged.